Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So my assignment is to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, The Lord's Dancing at Rath Yatra, Text 120 through 140. And in these texts, we're getting some information about the esoteric meaning of the Rath Yatra and the general instruction to the readers is not to read the Sanskrit or the Bengali, but just to read the English, so I'll do that. So text 120. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. And the translation of that verse is, that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. Purport. This verse appears in the Padyavali, text 386. Text 122. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Swarup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. I have already explained this verse. Now I shall simply describe it in brief. Purport. In this connection, see Madhya Lila, chapter 1, verses 53. 77 through 80, and 82 through 84. Text 124. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place of Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath, "You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens, and the humming of the bees and the chirping of the birds can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appeared just like the ordinary, just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here, there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj says, I have already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of those verses was known to Swarup Damodar Goswami, but he did not reveal it. However, Sri Rupa Goswami has broadcast the meaning. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami. The gopis spoke thus, Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 48. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. Unless they were forced, they never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, knowing that Krishna might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and in this way, their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, For most people, the mind and heart are one, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already in Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. Purport. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is, there also are Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus, as soon as one fixes Krishna in his mind becomes identical with Vrindavan. In other words, when one's mind is completely free from all material desires and is engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. Text 138. So Lord Chaitanya continues, "My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it will be very difficult for me to keep my life." Purport. Only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind must have some occupation. If a person is to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be subject matter for thinking, feeling, and willing. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Those who have given up all material activities and have ceased thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. Without Krishna, one cannot live, just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind. Text 139. My dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now, you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in jnana yoga and dhyana yoga. It is not right for you to do this. Purport. The process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the Supreme Absolute Truth, does not appeal to one who is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. Temple deity worship is realized by the devotees to be the same as direct service to Krishna. The deity is known as the Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatar, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord in the form of material manifestation, brass, stone, or wood. Ultimately, there is no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit, because both are his energies. For Krishna, there is no distinction between matter and spirit. His manifestation in material form, therefore, is as good as his original form, Satchidananda Vigraha. A devotee constantly engaged in deity worship, according to the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras and given by the spiritual master, realizes gradually that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he loses all interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. And the last verse, text 140, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you. He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani saying these things. I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage in material activities, but even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way, you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 Anyabhilashita shunyam ganakarmadyanavritam anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. That is a characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruitive activities, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. The gopis, therefore, express themselves as follows. So, Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Tutakar Prabhu, before you start your presentation, just a reminder, if you're parked on the temple side and you have only a few minutes to move, starting at 8 o'clock, you'll be ticketed soon.
Yeah, it's because of the street cleaning. You have to move your cars if you're parked on this side of the street. So, in reflecting on these verses, I was thinking about how important Kurukshetra is to this whole pastime of Rath Yatra, because the Rath Yatra is actually reenacting events that took place at Kurukshetra. Normally, we think of Kurukshetra in terms of the battle of Kurukshetra, of Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita at Kurukshetra. And that is, of course, very important. I was at Kurukshetra earlier this year and visited the place at Kurukshetra called Jyotisar, which is where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And near there, ISKCON has a small temple, temporary building. I mean, Srila Prabhupada's original vision for that place was that there would be a large ISKCON center there and actually a college as well. But that hasn't happened yet. So that hasn't manifested as of this moment. But another event that took place at Kurukshetra was the meeting of Lord Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And That took place on the occasion of a solar eclipse. You know, it was the custom and still is the custom for people in India to come to that place when there's a solar eclipse and take bath to relieve themselves of the inauspicious effects of solar eclipse. So as we're hearing in these verses, originally Krishna appeared first in Mathura as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but then he was transferred immediately across the river Jamuna to Vrindavan, where he was placed in the care of his foster parents, Nanda, King Nanda, and Yashoda. And then he spent many years in Vrindavan cultivating his loving relationships with the residents of Vrindavan. But at a certain point, he apparently left Vrindavan and went to Mathura again, and then later to Dwarka and Hastinapur. And instead of living the life of a cowherd boy, enjoying simple loving pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends and cowherd girlfriends, he was living the life of a prince and engaged in warfare and political activities. So at that time, his residence was in Dwarka. So at the time of this solar eclipse, the residents of Dwarka, the members of the Yadu dynasty, which was the dynasty that Krishna appeared in, they came to Kurukshetra. There are some lakes there that were originally dug by, a long time ago, they were dug by Parasaram. Parasaram was an avatar of Krishna who killed all the bad Kshatriyas, and there was so much blood that it accumulated in these huge lakes. So people would later come to bathe in these lakes, Saroveras. So there's one called the Brahma Sar or the Brahma Sarovara, where people would come to bathe especially. So the members of the Yadu dynasty gathered there, along with kings of other dynasties and members of other royal families. But the residents of Vrindavan also came. Nanda, Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, Srimati Radharani, they also came. So the members of the Yadu dynasty, they were very much aware that Nanda and Yashoda had taken care of Krishna, not only Krishna, but Balaram, Krishna's brother. And they were very happy to see them. So Krishna and Balaram went, and they were reunited with their mother and father, foster father, foster mother, Nanda and Yashoda. And Nanda and Yashoda treated Krishna and Balaram just as if they were still young children. Even though they were grown men in princely garb, you know, they took them on their laps and were hugging them and kissing them and weeping. So that went on for some time. And then Krishna and Balaram were standing, and they noticed that the gopis were there. Of course, the gopis were very much attached to Krishna. And Balaram thought, this information is contained in the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. where this event is described. It's also described in the Krishna book in the chapter about Krishna meeting the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are also some commentaries of acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who add some additional information about the intricacies of what went on at Kurukshetra. So it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who explains that after Krishna and Balaram had this reunion with Nanda and Yashoda, they noticed the gopis were standing, looking longingly at Krishna as if their hearts were breaking. So Balaram thought, well, maybe I should just get out of the way and let Krishna go and have a private meeting with the gopis. So that's what happened. So Krishna went to an out-of-the-way place with the gopis. And it said that he, just as during the rasa dance, he expanded into many forms to dance with each gopi. In this case, he expanded into many forms to individually console each gopi, and he was saying to them, okay, I know you've been, your hearts have been breaking in separation from me. According to Srila Prabhupada, our practice of bhakti yoga is in the mood of separation, vipralamba seva. And, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that this vipralamba, this separation, exists in four principal varieties. One is called purvaraga. That means the feelings that the gopis and Srimati Radharani had towards Krishna before they actually started having direct dealings with him, when they just knew about him in the beginning of their pastimes or lila. And so there's a kind of separation there. Before they wanted to meet Krishna, but they hadn't met him yet. So that's one form of vipralamba. Then there's another called mana, which means the separation that comes from jealous anger. Like after the Krishna and the gopis had met, sometimes a gopi would become jealous, well, that Krishna had met with some other gopi or something, and that would cause some this mana, this jealous anger, which would be a cause of separation. Then there's pravas, which means the separation caused by distance. And for example, if somebody loves someone and that person moves to a different country, then there can be some feeling of separation. So that was more or less what had happened with Krishna and the gopis. They had been together in Vrindavan, then Krishna had apparently gone away to Dwarka, Mathura, Hastinapur, and become a big prince. So they were feeling that kind of separation during that period of absence. And there's a fourth kind of separation called prema vaichitya. It means feeling separation even when you're meeting with the beloved person. So sometimes the gopis and Radharani, they would feel like that. Even when they were meeting with Krishna, they would be afraid of separation, or there would be some reason why they couldn't fully express their love for each other. And that appears to be happening at Kurukshetra. So even though the gopis and Radharani, they're actually present with Krishna, they're still feeling some separation. So So Krishna was saying to them, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the verses from the Bhagavatam, okay, you've been separated from me, but here we are together again. Do you feel like a little bit of relief from the heartbreak you've been undergoing? Now, sometimes in affairs like this, the participants speak in a kind of counterintuitive way that they may be speaking a little bit sarcastically, or they're a little bit angry and they want to express themselves. So they express themselves in a way that's counter to what their real feelings are. So in this case, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis were saying, what? We didn't miss you at all. We were getting along fine. What do you mean, the heart's breaking and separation? Yeah, maybe you, but... So Krishna said, well, in any case, you just have to understand that sometimes the Lord brings people together and the Lord brings people apart. So even though you may be a little upset that, you know, I had to go because of my family responsibilities and go and kill some Kshatriyas, maybe you're a little bit upset by that, but that's just the way things work. That's the way God arranges things. The Supreme Lord brings people together, and then he separates them. And then according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis were thinking, yeah, but you are that Lord. You know, why are you talking like this, you cheater? And then according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna was saying, well, yes, I am the Supreme Lord, but by meditating upon me, people have gotten liberation. But that is, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in these verses here in his purports, that's not what Radharani, the supreme gopi, wanted. And Srila Prabhupada makes the distinction in these purports between the mood of Aishwarya, of being in the mood of awe and reverence and being fully aware of Krishna's opulence as the Supreme Lord. That kind of awareness doesn't allow, you know, the full expression of madhurya, spontaneous love for Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, in their normal state, weren't really aware that Krishna was God, the all-pervading Lord of the universe, the controller of everything. He was just the all-attractive cowherd boy who totally absorbed their thoughts, their feelings, and their willing activities, thinking, feeling, and willing. These are the activities of the conscious mind. So they were just spontaneously attracted to Krishna as this cowherd boy in Vrindavan. They weren't interested in anything else. So therefore, they said, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in the purports about Srimati Radharani's mentality, no, we don't want to meditate on you as the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller. Of course, to get to the stage of spontaneous love for Krishna of the kind that the residents of Vrindavan express. We do have to go through the stage of understanding Krishna's nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But ultimately, the position of the pure devotee is beyond that even. But for us, those instructions are there that we have to appreciate Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. He does bring souls together and apart, you know, so that we don't become too attached to our material relationships and can appreciate the difference between material relationships and relationships on the spiritual platform. So all of this was being expressed at Kurukshetra. After a long time, Radharani was meeting Krishna again after a long separation. And still, even though Krishna was there, there was still a feeling of separation because the environment at Kurukshetra was the environment of chariots and kings and princes. Therefore, Radharani wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan with her, and that is the inner meaning of the Rath Yatra. That Lord Chaitanya, taking the role of Srimati Radharani in this dancing before Lord Jagannath, was inviting Krishna to come away from these opulent surroundings of Aishwarya Leela and inviting Krishna to please come back to Vrindavan, where there could be this natural, loving relationship that they had enjoyed with this cowherd boy, not with this big prince with all his, of course, it was there. Krishna was there with his many wives, you know, his many associates in the royal order. So they weren't too happy with that. So even though Krishna was there, there was still a feeling of separation, and they wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So that's the inner meaning of the Rath Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada has kindly engaged us. He's given the key in these purports, the key to the inner meaning of Rath Yatra is given. But it's not something that we just meditate upon in an abstract way. We're being literally engaged in the Leela ourselves. This is the mercy of the pure devotee. He's giving the highest thing, the bhava or the emotional feelings felt by the residents of Vrindavan as they desire to take Krishna back with him from the royal opulent surroundings to the more simple natural surroundings of Vrindavan, where they could really express themselves. You know, they couldn't do it on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know, that's why Radharani is saying, I want to go back to that place where we first met. So this is the inner esoteric meaning of the Rath Yatra, and we're all being engaged in this pastime and to according to the level of our surrender, the level of our participation, we're being given the key and we can realize it. We'll get some benefit no matter what level of realization that we have. But Srila Prabhupada is giving us the opportunity to have to participate in the highest level of realization of this pastime. You know, he's given us the key in his books by introducing the Rath Yatra. He's made it a form of practical meditation. You know, we do, although the gopis and Radharani are saying we don't want to meditate, actually they do, in a sense, meditate upon Krishna, but it's not the kind of meditation that a mystic yogi would engage in. It's a kind of active meditation to always be thinking of Krishna with love and devotion. So we have our meditation in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is stressing the deity worship. So that is an active meditation, you know, for the pujaris who are offering artiks and performing pujas and dressing the deities. It's a meditation. You have to focus your mind, as Krishna says, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Manmana, you have to put your mind on me, or as he told Arjuna, mamanusmara yudya cha, you know, think of me and fight. But it's a meditation, but it's a fully absorbing active meditation that includes not just the mind, but all of the senses. So it becomes a very intense meditation on the deities or in Ratha Yatra. It's not just a mental speculative idea. It's an actual event that requires the use of the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses. It's a form of active, concentrated meditation on Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada has given us the key to understanding its esoteric meaning. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jagannath Rath Yatra ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.